Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, all that surrounds us, all that has been created, including our very existence, is a sign and proof of your love for each one of us. Help us to understand this love and to respond in a way that is truly worthy of what we each and every one of us have received in such great abundance. We ask this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There always is a danger of the laity to take over an ecclesial movement because they tend to get carried away, just the way it is, the way life is. And we need to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times we speak of the Holy Spirit and not understanding exactly what the purpose that he gives himself to us is for. Now, spiritual directors are specifically to see the workings and the promptings of the Spirit within them and to discern whether or not these workings and promptings are of God, of the good spirit, the evil spirit, from nature, from diet, whatever it might be. Now, when one opens up to suggestion, any suggestions, they open up to both good and bad. And that's why we need directors. We need someone spiritual. Now, the second week, we will be dealing with the life of Christ, and that begins tomorrow. We will look at the various things that Jesus does, how he grows, and so forth. But now we're going to take a look at the indwelling of the Trinity, the indwelling, the divine indwelling. This doctrine holds for all ages and is revealed in the saints especially. Doctrine of Christ in you. Jesus teaches it everywhere. This is not modern theology, but the very Jesus that lives in each one of us, and I live in him. He says, and he also says this always, I live in you. So in other words, His hands are in my hands, his feet are in my feet, his head is in my head, his heart is in my heart, and so forth. But he always continues, and he says, and you live in me. Therefore, my hand is in his hand, my heart is in his heart, my feet are in his feet. Not only his feet in my feet, but mine in his. Now, this truth is especially pertinent in the Passion. You're being scourged, O Lord. Your back is my back. My back is your back. You're being scourged. I don't feel it, but I want to. The basis for all penance. Now Jesus has a glorified body, able to be everywhere, all at once, in every single host, in every tabernacle throughout the world, complete, totally. It is truly possible that he lives in me. I live in all of me. Why are my thoughts so precious to God? Well, let's do it this way. Jesus says, I live in you. Now, this is me. I was never intended to be Rembrandt, so don't expect anything that's any better than that. Now, I live in me, but Jesus says, I live in you. All right. That means Jesus' head is in my head. His shoulders are in my shoulders. His arms are in my arms, his legs are in my legs, his feet are in my feet, his chest is in my chest, his neck is in my neck, his heart is in my heart. His brain is in my brain. His lips are in my lips and so forth. Then he says, and you live in me. All right. Then we realize that his head is in our head. His shoulders are in our shoulders. His arms are in our arms. His feet are in our feet. His legs are in our legs. His hands are in our hands and so forth. This is what Jesus says. I'm not making it up. Therefore, his brain, my brain, his my brain, his my his heart, his my his feet, his my his torso, his my his everything. Therefore, we ask ourselves, why are my thoughts so precious to God? Because his brain is in my brain and my brain is in his. My thoughts are made sublime by his thinking them. Why does God listen to the likes of me? They are his words and mine to begin with. My work? Why do I get so much merit? Because his hands are in my hands. Jesus gets our dinner ready for us. So when I think of him, he is the one. When I pray him and thank him, I am truly thanking him for what he has done. My heart, his heart. My loves, his loves. My feet are his, therefore my places belong to him. You live in me. My brain is in his brain, my head in his head, my lips in his lips, arms in his arms. My whole person is in him. In him we live and move and have our very being. It's Christ's human nature, kind of like a walking holy communion. Every one of us. An idea comes from my brain, therefore my graces and ideas are in communication with his brain, to my brain. They are my thoughts, but my his thoughts and his my thoughts. Therefore, my words have much more power than they have on their own. His words, mine, his. All I do under obedience, his, my, his works. His, my, his places. We as priests, we wear religious attire, religious, wear a habit. Because God moves me around as a priest. Why we look like a priest. Why religious, wear the habit. I want to get the real Christ in this retreat. In every retreat. We realize that the Gospels are excellent and perfect historical documents. I don't know why people try to undermine the Gospels all the time unless it's for 30 pieces of silver to write a stinking book. People are afraid of being called antiquarian and throwbacks and things like that with regard to the church. And we realize that after every council, the church has floundered. It takes about 50 years. It's almost like the rudder of Peter is allowed to just go with the flow. And so the bark of Peter just meanders. And then after about 50 years, the rudder begins to stiffen. And the church begins to move forward. For the past 50 years, the church has kind of floundered around, does all after every council. And now the church is moving forward again. And moving forward, for many who love to flounder, seems like moving backward. But in reality, the church is moving forward now after the council. The church is finding its way again in the world. We are seeing the great magnificence and value of tradition in the church, of the sacredness of the Eucharist and the sacraments, the sacredness of the Mass. The church is looking at magnificence of the liturgies that were created by the very saints themselves. And we are moving into that once again. So the church will move in that direction. We will be kneeling in the short future when we receive communion. We will be receiving communion on the tongue. We will be celebrating Mass in the way that it should be. There will be changes, there will be differences, because these are pastoral changes. They are not doctrinal. Did you know that during the Second Vatican Council, there was only one doctrine or one thing that was actually changed, and that was the fasting laws before communion? They went from midnight to 3 hours, and then from 3 hours to 1 hour. Everything else that was changed in the council was a pastoral change, not a doctrinal change. So the original Catholic catechism, Catechism of Trent, St. Joseph's Catechism, those were written years ago, are still 100% perfectly accurate with regard to faith and morals and the doctrine. Now, I must think with Christ and the church. I must pray, sing, work with Christ and the church. Christ is in me, the eternal Christ. He, who in the year 29 died, is just as present as he was then. Set your heart on the kingdom of God, we are told. You must respond to infinite goodness, to infinite truth, to infinite power. Three responses. We are always, during this retreat, under the patronage of our beloved Mother Mary, to reform the deformed. We must conform to Christ. By the end of this retreat, any Ignatian retreat, we should know the universal spirituality of the church. Ignatius spirituality is universal spirituality. There is no, every single religious community, every spirituality can fit within the exercise of St. Ignatius. In fact, I give the exact same retreat Dominicans, to Franciscans, to Jesuits, and they all think that the retreat was formulated specifically for them, because I'm speaking to each and every spirituality. And every one of you have a different spirituality than the other. Henry, did I tell you about the quote from Henry David Thoreau? If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music he hears, no matter how measured or far away. That is truly a description of the spiritual life. Even in the exercise of St. Ignatius, no two people will tread the same path. Every single person is different. And they are called to follow Christ in a specific, unique way. We are not to goose-step with everyone else. Each one of you has your own spirituality, therefore. I first confirm myself by a good resolution. I do this by studying the life, passion, death of Christ. We are now living in the crucified Christ. There's no question about that. We are not an Alleluia people. We are an Alleluia people only by way of hope. In reality, we are a people of the Passion. But I need the light of heaven so I can transform my life into the risen life of Christ. Be transformed. That's what this is all about. We start with a purgative way. We purge from ourselves those things that are not of God, not of heaven. And then the illuminative way, we begin to see more and more and understand the words of Christ more and deeply, in our own way, mind you. So we begin to conform to Christ. That's what it is. The green isn't that dark. The illuminative way. And that means we conform by way of the illumination that we receive by God, through meditation, through the teachings of the church, through the teachings of our Holy Father, our bishop, our archbishops. Then we move to the unitive way, where we confirm what we have received in the illuminative way and what we have reformed in the purgative way. And all this leads to the transforming union, completely change. And that's something about the Holy Spirit. I've worked with the Charismatic Renewal many, many years in Brazil, where in the South America where it was founded. And I've worked with many charismatic groups. And I have found that when someone receives a gift, it transforms them completely. If it's a true gift of the Holy Spirit, they will never be the same afterward. Doesn't mean that they're going to have it all the time. People who say, I have the gift of tongues. No, you don't. You may have received a gift, but you don't have it. Because the Spirit blows where it wills. Somebody say, I interpret tongues. Well, maybe you have, but you don't. The Spirit does not give permanent gifts such as that. Many saints have experienced it. I was with Mother Teresa and a very holy brother. He spoke only Italian. Mother Teresa speaks only English. And they were both, and neither, Mother didn't know Italian, not one word of it. Brother that was speaking to her over the phone had no clue, no concept of English, not even slightly. And I was put on the extension so that I could translate between Mother and the brother. So here I am translating. Mother would say it in English. I would simultaneously translate in Italian and vice versa. Finally, the brother says, excuse me, Father, why are you repeating everything Mother says? I said, well, because I'm translating for you in Italian, and I'm translating it for her in English. He said, Mother is speaking perfect English. I'm perfect Italian. Dante's Italian. And Mother chimes in and she said, Brother is speaking Shakespearean English. And so I go, all right, I'll shut up. And I sat there and listened in. And wasn't probably supposed to. But I did. They didn't miss a beat. They were talking back and forth for almost 40 minutes. And completely understanding each other, yet they were each speaking in their own language. After it was over, I went to the brother. And I said, what was that? And he says, now you understand what the gift of tongues really is. If you look in Scripture, it's hearing in your own language. That's why the gift of tongues was given. And it made perfect sense to me at that time. I understood. So you see, the Holy Spirit does not do something for nothing. There's purpose and reason for the things that God does. But when someone does receive a gift, an extraordinary gift, whatever it is, they will never be the same. And that is one of the signs of a true and authentic gift. If one is proud, it was not a gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it was, but it sure as heck wasn't that. Pride will never accompany a true gift. Never. This doesn't happen. When I went to Brazil and I took charge of all the entire charismatic renewal in an entire diocese, the two people that were running it thought they were God. They were doing nothing except pumping up their own ego. So I got rid of them. And I did it very sweetly, of course, in a very Christian way. I just made them very miserable. And once they left, the Spirit took over. They became my right hand. Went out and they distributed rosaries. We closed a kingdom hall. They followed the Jehovah's Witnesses from door to door and said, here, Father Ben wants you to pray the rosary for these people. They're not even Christian. Ended up closing the Kingdom Hall. First Kingdom Hall ever to close in Brazil. In fact, we were talked about at their main conference in Brasilia that year, and I was like the evil person. I love that. I don't like being liked or loved by people who are nuts. So we need to realize that when we're dealing with the Spirit, there are certain things that we have to see in them. We have to see these changes that they're invoked. And when we see even an inkling of pride coming to the surface, we must reject those things because they are not helping us, because God's not going to give you a gift for everybody else if you're going to go to hell. It's just not the way God works. Now, God gives me his undivided attention at every single moment. Remember I told you at the very beginning of this retreat that God does not see crowds. He sees only you as though you were the only person. I know that's difficult for us. I look out and I see all of you guys. But really, in all seriousness, God only sees you. So his full undivided attention at every single moment of your life is only toward you. Within you, this whole thing is you. Within you, you have Jesus living in you, in your soul, in all of you. Father generating the Son being generated by the Father, Father and Son. Oh, I keep doing that to this thing. I'm going to have to do something else with this. But anyway, we have all these things inside of me, inside of each one of us, and they're constantly going. We have our, for example, our senses. We're able to hear the birds sing. We're able to see the sun rise. We're able to smell a flower. We see the twinkling of the stars. We can breathe in the fresh air, the power around us, the power to move and do things, and experiencing God as Father. All my loves, experiencing powers of the Holy Spirit, solid floor upon which I stand. All of these things affect my life. All of my loves are a participation in the spiration or the breathing forth of the Holy Spirit. We look at the Passion and we see it, we understand it, we follow it. But there are over 150 levels in every phrase that is spoken during the Passion. You could study just Christ on the cross every single day of your life and never repeat ever any meditation. The Father is generating with inside of me. Father is in me, really in me. You know, we always think of the Father as being up there someplace. And we're in heaven looking down. We say he sits at the right hand of the Father. But in reality, God is here. He's inside of us. And this indwelling of the Trinity must become part of our spiritual life. These persons dwelling within us, we cannot ignore them. We cannot put them someplace where they become other than ourselves in us. Father loves the Son loves the Father, they breathe forth the Holy Spirit. This infinite love is within me, within you. Anytime I use any of my powers, I use the power of the Father in me. I infinitely merit. Every bit of intelligence that I exercise, I participate in the intelligence of God. In other words, his Son. The Greek fathers go even deeper than this. They speak of you and I as being deified. You become as God. Therefore, all I do is either a function of the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. Everything that I do. Now, how is he present to me? I can't even look without seeing him. There's nothing that you can do, nothing you can see, nothing you can hear, nothing you can touch, taste, smell that isn't Him. I actually experience God in every thought I have, for I use the very intelligence of God to think with. For I am a God-man. Not the gender, man as in human. Divinity of Christ, divinize me, we say in the prayer. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. That's why I like that book, Pule. I don't know how you say it. Do you know how to say Pule? Is that it? Sheesh, who knew? But, you know, I love that book. Why? Because it's the only one that says, blood of Christ, inebriate me. Every other book says, fill me. And I go, because they say, well, we don't want to offend alcoholics. What? It's the only one. Have you ever noticed that? All the other things. Oh, blood of Christ, fill me. I said, no, it's inebriate me. There's a big difference. And every word he says, in fact, they take out the stuff that he says about Rosie. That's another story in itself. Rosie was a pain in his neck. She was the most annoying person he ever had in his life. In fact, he even went to the Pope because she was driving him nuts. And if you ever get a parish and a pastorate, you will have a Rosie. Every priest has a rosary. Rosie, not rosary, Rosie, who will drive him up the wall. You might even have more than one. Therefore, I experience God in all kinds of things. A flower, a star, a singing bird, my own beating heart. All these things are energies of God. God makes the flower be and bloom. Therefore, out of God comes a flowing energy of love. God makes the bird be and sing, my heart beat. Floor beneath my feet, the air. I must attend to God. I contemplate that aspect of my life. I must be present to the one I love. You know, we can be with many people and never be present to them. How many people live in a big city? They don't even know the person living across the hall. And now, people don't even know their own children. Brothers and sisters don't know each other. Husbands and wives don't even know each other. You know, when there's an accident, there can be 10 people who see the exact same accident, and every one of them have a different story. Then we in a family sit and watch television, and we think that we're doing something together. Every person in a family that watches the same show is getting something totally different. No one ever discovers that. They don't talk about it. They don't find out. What are you thinking? How is this affecting you? I need to be present, especially to God. I must be aware of His presence. There's the key to every form of true growth in spirituality, to be present to God and to be aware I am present to God. That's why the saints always say, every so many minutes, make a spiritual aspiration. They used to call it a spiritual ejaculation. Spiritual, just say, Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all. Or Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Something like that. Because it makes us aware that we're in the presence of God. If you wake up at night and go to the restroom, it's an invitation to pray. Did you ever know that? Every time you wake up in the middle of the night, it is an invitation. God is asking for you to pray. And if you have a bladder the size of Chiclets like I do, you're praying half the night. So I got to thank God for it, I guess, you know. The labor and toil of God, of my lover, the toil of my lover for me. And Fiddler on the Roof, they had a beautiful song. And then he sings, do you love me? He says, do I what? He says, do you love me? He says, for 45 years I've washed your clothes, I've cooked your meals, I've cleaned this house, I've done all this stuff, and you ask me now, do I love you? He says, yes, do you love me? For 30 years, 40 years, do you love me? That's the way she interprets her love. And in that song, he accepts it. Then you love me. Every blade of grass, every cloud in the sky is an expression of divine love, flaming energies of love. My Father in heaven keeps his whole world going all the time. The Lord, the machine gods keep going every single day to keep you fed. We see each thing. Where did it come from? The lettuce from California, apples from Oregon, the beef from Australia, and so forth. Those who grow the coffee, grind the oil, all is divine providence for me. Keeping me stopped at a red light on the street, God's providence. There was a song years ago, you'll never know how much I love you. Jesus sings this from the very cross. His 33 years of hard labor, why? That he may live in me and I in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, there is nothing we can do, nothing we can see, nothing we can touch that isn't your gift. Help us to become aware of this. Help us to see with eyes. See your presence. Let us know this presence. Though we may not feel it, but as we know, feelings don't count for much. Help us know it. Help us understand it. Help us believe it. So that every single act, every single aspiration, every single touch, every sound we utter will be nothing but an expression of love. For that love itself has first emanated from your divine love. We ask this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of Divine Love, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.